Translation and purport. From Puru Rava's rubbing of the Aranis came a fire. By such a fire, one can achieve all success in material enjoyment and be purified in seminal birth, initiation, and in the performance of sacrifice, which are invoked with the combined letters AUM. Thus, the fire was considered the sun of King Pururab. According to the Vedic process, one can get a son through semen, Shukra. One can get a bona fide disciple through initiation, Savitra. Or one can get a son or disciple through the fire of sacrifice, Yajna. Thus, when Maharaj Pururava generated the fire by rubbing the Aranis, the fire became his son. Either by semen, by initiation, or by yajna, one may get a son. The Vedic mantra Om Kara, or Pranava, consisting of the letters AUM, can call each of these three methods into existence. Therefore, the words Nirmantanaj Jata indicate that by the rubbing of the Aranis, a son was born. Tasya nirmantanaj jato jataveda vibhavasu trayasa vidyaya radna putratve kalpitastri vrit. Open the window a bit, huh? Please. Omagena timarandasya. No, that's right. Omagena timarandasya genanjana shalakaya chakshur militam jena tasmai sri gurve nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapar Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Skajatam Sahagana Raghunaptan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Stra Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Taptakanchina Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvabhanu Sutta Devi Pramami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Where's Ananda Chaitanya? Call him on your phone. Invite him to class. So this verse is about Parabara generating a son. But the son is the fire. So it's a figurative use of the word sun in this case. From his rubbing came the fire. He was rubbing two sticks. Prabhupada writes, therefore the words nirmantanajata indicate that by the rubbing of the aranis, a son was born. Thus when Maharaj Parabara generated the fire by rubbing the aranis, the fire became his son. Of course he had sons. It's not that he didn't. He had, I believe, six. From the womb of Ravasi came six sons, namely, and then the names are given. Generally, one performs a yajna with the intention of getting a son. But usually that's done by seminal injection. Then there's another way to get a son, and that is by initiation. So yajna, seminal birth, or initiation all produce sons. Tasya nirmantanaj sato jatuveda vibhavasu. So this was taking place at the beginning of Treta Yuga, when the process of performing yajna was introduced. Somehow Parabara was living at that time, and he received the inspiration at that time to perform yajna. We're living at this time and we're inspired to perform sankirtan yajna. And instead of chanting the tri vrit, the letters AUM combined as OM, in our yajna we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Congregationally we chant here in the temple, and we also go out to chant. Another kind of chanting, or sankirtan, is when we glorify Krishna by distributing books about Krishna. When we're in the group chanting Hare Krishna in public, it's not so difficult because the group is carrying us along. But on the strength of the group, we can dance and chant along with the group. But when we're distributing books, we're standing there alone. So we might be a little more worried about what people are going to think, or what am I going to say, or how is this person going to stop, or how am I going to be able to tolerate people saying, no, I don't want this, or no, I don't want to buy anything, or no, I'm busy, or no, I have to go to work, or not now. Yesterday I was on Sankirtan with Russ Prine, and we went to Hemel Hempstead. There's just a very nice mall. Sunny day, so it was in good condition. And I learned something about how to be more tolerant. You know, people are going to pass you by and ignore you and speak some negative things to say I don't want this, or I'm busy. So it occurred to me that by controlling my reaction or my response to their negativity, I could manage quite well. If we react or respond to their negativity, you know, and think, oh, it's so difficult, to do this, you know, everybody's against me. Then if we respond too much like that, then we will feel discouraged too much. So we have to respond without any kind of, you know, emotional interaction with that negativity. We just have to take it in a very, like water off a duck's back, right? Water doesn't stick to a duck's feathers, it just rolls off. Another analogy was I was thinking of how when we're driving in traffic, we often pass cars, but you know, although we're going past the other person, maybe cutting them off or whatever a little bit, you know, there's no problem with that. Everybody just accepts, okay, pass that person, pass this person. Or a car may pass us, another car may pass us, and we don't care, you know, it's just part of driving. So in the same way, the people that are going by, we can take it, you know, with detachment, that, okay, this person made a noise, you know, like a honking of a horn, I don't want that, okay, he goes past. And then there's the next one, you know. But what's really nice, I mean, of course we can, you know, it's nice to learn how to develop tolerance. It's a quality of a Brahmin. But it's really nice to meet good people. Yesterday, by Krishna's grace, I met a very nice gentleman, a young man. He had two children and his wife with him. And they were at the little, tiny, tiny playground. There's a little playground in the mall where the kids can hang out for a little while. And they were there, so it was. I didn't have to stop them. They were already standing there, and I just went up to the man. And he was wearing sunglasses, so I couldn't quite make eye contact with him. You know, I just saw the dark shades. You know how it is when you wear sunglasses? You're like at an advantage because you can watch the other person's eyes, but he can't watch you. So he had an advantage. But he was really nice. He said, I've read the Bhagavad Gita once. I don't think it was our Bhagavad Gita, but he was someone who had read it. And I tried to sort him out, you know, well, were you like studying that or you were taking a course in religion? He said, no, I just read it. And it turns out he was a project manager. So he had a good job. And he was interested. He just had intellectual or curiosity and he had read it. So he was holding the Gita that I gave him. He had already had it in his hands, and I was talking about it. I showed him Prabhupada's picture and said that I was from the manor, and George Harrison had been a friend of Srila Prabhupada and given us the manor. And I explained our scheme that, you know, we don't sell the books, we just ask people to give a donation to cover the printing costs. So he was getting the idea. And then I thought, well, you know, this Bhagavad Gita is so thick, he may not read it. So I thought, I asked him, why don't you take this book instead, this King of Knowledge, you know, because it's short and you'll be able to maybe read some of this for sure, whereas, you know, to read the whole Bhagavad Gita, you know, it might be too much. That was my idea. And I suggested that he substitute the Bhagavad Gita and take the King of Knowledge, and he wouldn't. He wouldn't change. So then he gave a £5 donation. So then I went and told Ross Bryan, and wow, you know, great, you know. Then at the end I met a student, and he had heard about us in his sociology class. He's not a college student yet. He had taken a class in which they discussed a little bit the cults, or the sext. And so he'd heard about us and he wanted to read one of our books. And he didn't have money, but he said, I'm going to go to the ATM and then I'm going to spend some of the money and come back with the change. And he didn't seem like he was making an excuse. In fact, he wasn't. He came back. He was true to his word. He came back and took a small book. So I was glad I had distributed two books that the rest of the people said no. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if a brahmachari goes out and distributes two books, then you know he's done very well. So I always keep keep that as my guiding light on Sankirtan, because I usually can distribute two books. On Sunday, I'm going to change the topic now to the Sunday class. I was talking about Murari Gupta. As a physician, he was curing the bodily diseases, and Srila Prabhupada also was kind of doing that sometimes with his disciples, because he was a pharmacist. And I happened last night to read a letter to a disciple named Shamadasi, and here's Prabhupada writing, regarding the ailments with your finger, I'm describing here a treatment for it. Take turmeric powder and add the same quantity of limestone, then mix with water and boil it to a paste. Then apply the paste while it is hot. I understand that Hayagriva had some backache, so for him you take one part of a crushed to powder red pepper and add it to five parts of rubbing alcohol. Keep this for 24 hours, then strain it and add one part camphor. When it is mixed, just apply it on the painful part of the back three times daily. Okay, let's look a little more at the verse. The verse talks about seminal birth. There is a reference to seminal birth in connection with good sons and bad sons. It said that a son and urine, or semen and urine, emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he's no better than urine. So this was used in the pastimes of Lord Ram, this example. The ocean god appeared before Ram when he wanted to cross the ocean. And he encouraged Lord Ram. He said, you may use my water as you like. You can use my water. You can cross to Lanka on my water. Indeed, you may cross this water and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He's the son of Vishrava, but he's condemned like urine. So the ocean god said, Ravan is no better than urine. Parabar is rubbing sticks together. Yesterday we heard that Brahmins could ignite a fire just by a mantra. But we use a lighter, or we use matches. Here Prabhupada is speaking about generating a fire. And this is in another lecture that he gave in 1968. And he's not describing generating the fire by rubbing the sticks together, although he mentions that, but he brings it up to date. He says, you cannot get fire by rubbing two sticks. If there's no chemicals on the top, he's making reference to the modern matches where you strike the wooden stick. There's some chemicals up on the top to get that. So he has updated the idea. And he says there's this match, and you can get a fire just by rubbing. And you've got a fire. So he wants to compare this. It's in this lecture, he's giving initiation. He's, you could say, generating sons and daughters, as mentioned in this verse, Savitra. So he's instructing his disciples about taking initiation and developing love of Krishna. He says, the four principles of restriction, they should follow. Meaning the disciples should follow. The four principles of restriction, they should follow. That's a nice wording. Normally we say the regulative principles, but Prabhupada has, in this case, said the four principles of restriction, they should follow. And chant at least 16 rounds, and gradually they'll be fixed up and have attachment. Attachment and taste. So those are higher levels. After you take initiation and follow the rules, your faith becomes fixed, then you develop attachment and taste. And then love of Krishna will automatically follow. It's there in everyone's heart, love of Krishna. It's not a foreign thing that we're imposing. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sisi Gonata. So this is interesting. He uses the words, it's not a foreign thing that we're imposing. He's in America, in Seattle, Washington, on the West Coast. And he's only been in America 2 years or 3 years. So he has to introduce Krishna consciousness sometimes by saying, it's not a foreign thing. I'm not giving you something from India. I'm not giving you something Hindu or something like that. But he says it's there in every living entity. Otherwise, how are these American boys and girls taking it if it's not there? It is there. I'm simply helping. Then he uses this example of the matches. Just like the matches, there's fire and one can help. Just by rubbing, that you help create the fire. You create the fire by striking the match. And you cannot get a fire if the chemicals are not on the top. If you just rub a wooden stick against the scratcher, you won't get a fire. There has to be some chemicals there, he says. So, Krishna consciousness is there in everyone's heart. One simply has to revive it by this association. Then he says, it's neither difficult nor impractical. It's not unpractical. We take care of all our bodily necessities in Krishna consciousness. Everything is nice. It's not unpalatable. It's very nice. So our request to everyone is let them take this munificent gift of Lord Chaitanya and chant and be happy. Going back to what the verse describes, a yajna and rubbing of sticks. Prabhupada writes about this, or I could say the Bhagavatam speaks about this in other places. There are other yajnas described in the Bhagavatam. So I looked up a couple of those. There's one mentioned in the fifth canto. Darushu eva chita vedasam Nanti, Matna, Manasa, and it reads, it's describing the wood and the fire. By manipulating a fire-generating stick, in our modern day, a fire-generating stick is a match. But in the old days, a fire-generating stick was something the Brahmins used. The sages and saints can bring forth the fire lying dormant within the wood. And this example is used as an analogy. In the same way, O Lord, those expert in understanding the absolute truth try to see you in everything, even in their own bodies, yet you remain concealed. You are not to be understood by indirect processes involving mental or physical activities like speculation and yoga, gyan and yoga, mental or physical activities. Because you are self-manifested, only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you, do you reveal yourself. So Prabhupada explains that the word jataveda means the fire produced by rubbing wood. In Vedic times, learned sages could bring forth fire from wood. Also, he quotes the Upanishads. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood by chanting the Vedic mantras. He's all-pervading and he's within the hearts of everyone. He witnesses all the activities of the living entity. He's the witness as well as the living force. Yet he is transcendental to all material qualities. When one understands that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart and actually sees the Lord present everywhere, he has perfect knowledge. So, we could say that generating a fire by rubbing two sticks together or using a fire-generating stick, invoking fire by a mantra, we could say, well, that sounds very difficult the way the sages did it. You know, you had to have some special skills. And in the same way, you need some special skills to acquire this perfect knowledge, to see the Lord everywhere. We can hear it, theoretically, that the Lord's in everyone's heart, but can we see it? The answer to this is, you have to be qualified in this way. The verse goes, you are self-manifested. You are self-manifested only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you. Then you reveal yourself. So it's a question of getting reciprocation from the Lord. One has to act in such a way, upon the knowledge that he receives, wholeheartedly engaging in searching for the Lord, and then the Lord may reveal himself. Dhruva Maharaj was a good example. Although he was only 5, he wholeheartedly engaged in searching for Krishna by chanting the mantras that Narad Muni gave him and performing austerity. And the Lord reciprocated. You could say, you know, he made the Lord reciprocate because he was so wholeheartedly engaged. The Lord felt obligated. There's another example from the 11th canto about a description of generating a fire. Anala means fire. Anala ke anila means air. Anala ke anila, bandhu means the help. Ushma, heat, balena, strongly, daruni, within the wood. And then being kindled by friction, arimatyamana. Anu means very tiny. The word anu refers to the spark that's generated. That's very small. But that gives rise to a whole fire. Prajata is born. Then, Havisha with ghee. And then Samedata, the ghee increases the fire. And again, this is an analogy When sticks of kindling wood are vigorously rubbed together, heat is produced by contact with air, and a spark of fire appears. Once the fire is kindled, ghee is added, and the fire blazes. Similarly, I become manifest in the sound vibration of the Vedas. So here the production of a fire is compared with chanting the sound vibration of the Vedas, and how the Lord becomes manifested by chanting. So that should encourage us that by our wholehearted chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the Lord will reveal Himself, just as a fire is produced when there's the proper process of rubbing sticks and generating a spark and then adding ghee. You see how the priest conducts a fire sacrifice. You've all seen it. The priests here in the temple perform fire sacrifice. So in the same way, we can perform a sacrifice of chanting, and the Lord will become manifest, just as the Lord who is represented by the fire becomes manifest when we're doing a fire sacrifice. The fire begins to roar when the ghee is added. Fire represents Lord Vishnu. People are encouraged to do these fire sacrifices. If you go to India, you'll find that people like to sponsor sacrifices, because in the Vedic culture they're taught that you should use some of your hard-earned money to perform rituals. They're taught like that. You're working, you should use some of your money, go to the priests, go to the temples, and do some rituals. Have some fire sacrifice. And the Vedas tell the people, you'll be rewarded in a future life if you do this. This gives them some incentive. If I do a jagya, if I go to the temple, I'll get some reward. So it's good for them, even though it seems materialistic, it's good for them because they're following the Vedic authority. That's encouraged. You should follow the Vedic authority, even if you're materially motivated. And then the idea is that if you perform these rituals, if you get enough of material enjoyment, then you'll feel exhausted with material enjoyment, and you'll naturally turn or gravitate toward the superior stage of philosophical speculation. And then you'll understand your existential situation by getting spiritual knowledge. You'll understand who you are, what the world is, and that you don't belong in the world. And you'll understand the glories. If you get more knowledge, you'll understand the glories of the Lord and take to the process of devotional service. So this is what Krishna means when he says that he's the goal of Vedic knowledge. Vedascha sadayaraham eva vedyo. Vedic knowledge is there to encourage you to do sacrifices. You get some material rewards. You become exhausted with that. You take to philosophical understanding and gradually get knowledge of Krishna. So by Vedic sacrifice, it's said that the fire of spiritual knowledge gradually blazes. It's not just a fire, but it's also spiritual knowledge that blazes. And what does spiritual knowledge do? It illuminates everything. You see everything properly in the light of spiritual knowledge. And that destroys the bondage or the chain of fruitive activity.